The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told them all they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized him, and they hurried there on foot and from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about the whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O
Christ. Is the congregation seated? I invite my young friends forward for a children's message.
Trick part, I gotta put it back. You guys can go back.
Good thing I didn't use Kool-Aid. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we've spent this year in the Gospel of Mark, you know that one of the things I've pointed out with regularity is just how quickly the author of this Gospel moves from place to place with immediacy, and Jesus is always moving from one place to another. Well, this Gospel text we hear from the sixth chapter of Mark today is no exception. There is constant movement, and here they are in one place, having returned from somewhere else, but then they get on a boat to go another place, and when they get there and the people are already there, they go somewhere else, and cities and villages and farms, and all the places they go, the people continue to follow. There's continued and abundant movement in this Gospel because there's always something new to do, always something important to be done, and that is reflected in the hurried pace of the entire Gospel of Mark. That it was the first to be shared with the people after Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension. We certainly understand that hurried pace around here at Augsburg, especially among our youth ministries, because if you've been here any time in the last few weeks, it seems like we're always doing some sort of sending. At the end of June, we sent 30 of our youth and adult leaders, along with others from Epiphany and Christ Beloved, for a group of 42 to head to Houston to the National Youth Gathering for our high school students. And then last week in this place, we sent forth 8 of our confirmation students as they made their way to Lutheridge for a week of confirmation camp. And as I've shared with some of you, I've been doing confirmation camp for 15 years, and this was by far the most meaningful week that I've ever been part of. And then just this morning, bright and early before 8:30 service began, we brought our young people on the middle school mission trip into the sanctuary so that they might be sent out to go to Nashville and participate in youth works for the week. Next week, we'll be getting ready for VBS and drawing people in. It just happens over and over again during the life of summer. There's this energy and excitement about where God is going to lead people next. But what happens? What happens when you're no longer a youth? When you no longer chaperone those trips? When you no longer have that energy or wherewithal to be willing to sleep on a sleeping bag on the floor of somewhere else? It happens. It happens to all of us. It's called growing up. We were in this profound moment in the week of our life of faith, and one of our adult leaders, a pastor from South Carolina, looked at us as all of the children left the room and said, "These middle schoolers have a passion for Christ, and I love it. But you know what I'm worried about?" We all looked at him with wonder what he'd say next. He said, "I'm worried they'll become adults." And he's right, right? What happens when we become adults? What happens when the cares of the world start to become our own? What happens when we're concerned about our schedules and budgets and health concerns and all of those things that as adults, they just pile up on us, right? They are real things that impact our lives. When we find ourselves no longer able to care for ourselves because we're so overwhelmed with caring for others, whether they're younger or our age or our parents. When we constantly find ourselves having to keep up with schedules and budgets and the challenges of daily life, it's easier just to hunker down instead of keeping moving. But this Gospel text today reminds us, as God's people, we are not called to sit still. And maybe at your point in your life, physically sitting still is what needs to happen, and I certainly understand that. But God calls us still to move in our lives and to move in our interactions and the ways that we encounter one another. God calls us to keep moving. And God promises us that God will be there. That's the beauty of this 23rd Psalm, probably some of the most familiar words of Scripture that many of us know by heart. And we walk through the shadow of death. When we find ourselves in those valleys that are hard, God is with us. when we long to be refreshed and anointed and to see that cup that runneth over because our cup doesn't seem full enough, God is with us. When the burdens of the world around us and the burdens of our own lives overcome us, God is with us. And when those things that nobody else can see or know about, those anxieties and worries and frustrations that live in our mind that we aren't able to articulate out loud, God is with us. And so we're called to take a cue from our youth, called to take a cue from these disciples who, I remind you, were probably teenagers themselves when Jesus called them, taking them out of their father's care and into his hands, that we as sheep are continually called to keep moving. Sheep don't stay in one place because that grass ends up disappearing because it's been digested. They move to where the water is. They move to where the food is. And it is God, the Good Shepherd, that moves them. And so we, like sheep, are moved. But we're often hesitant because life is comfortable. Or life is at least able to be managed in what parameters we've set around the world around us. And we can't let anything interfere with that because otherwise things become challenging. Or sometimes we just don't feel like it. I reached out to one of the youth who I went to Lutheridge last night to ask if I could include their words in my sermon. I'm not going to identify them by name or gender, just to let their story be theirs to hold, but it is worth repeating. This individual, when we got to the vans last Sunday afternoon, was not excited about going. They weren't really excited when they got there and kind of just saw how things were going, but a little bit on the side. But that final night when there was a moment for sharing, I could see the transformation that God had worked within that youth that week. And they stood up and said, "I didn't want to come here. My parents forced me to come here. But now I don't want to leave." God's presence in that individual's life was shown in a way this week where the movement and energy and love and relationships built in camp were able to sustain this young person to see a fuller presence of God in their lives. And I'm excited to see what's next for them. But it's a reminder that not only teenagers say that. And although your parents might not be forcing you to do anything in the world, we still find ourselves in those places where we say, "I don't want to." And yet oftentimes when we do, we see just how amazing God's gifts can be. And so as disciples, as sheep, as children of God, pick your metaphor, we are called to keep moving. Maybe not physically, maybe that's too hard, but to keep figuratively moving, keep figuratively sharing God's grace in all our encounters in life, in all the ways that our cup runneth over and we see abundance, to share those with everyone that we encounter. To take a cue from those who get to go somewhere else and do this and ponder how we might do that in our own lives. And the key to that, the key that I have discovered in Houston and at Lutheridge and that they'll discover this week in Nashville, is to know that we don't do it alone. To know that God is with us. So Wednesday night was powerful at camp. The whole week was. But we had a worship service that a few of our adult leaders had planned, and so the rest of us as adults, and certainly not the counselors or the campers, knew what we were going to expect. And we came into the room, and we sat facing the cross, and there on the wall was a big blank sheet of white paper that was probably 15 feet long and 6 feet wide. And down on the floor were some markers. And all of the youth were invited to come forward and pick up a marker and to write what burdened them in their lives, to write what they were struggling with, to write what they were challenged by. Oh my gosh, was it overwhelming for us as adults to see what 6th and 7th and 8th graders deal with on a daily basis? Bullying and body shaming and self-doubt and conflicting within family and struggle with friends, an addiction to things that, yes, even middle schoolers struggle with, substance and screen alike. So many things that these children and youth don't say out loud, but are the struggles in their hearts. And it was powerful to come up and read them and see them. But the two leaders that night did something even more powerful than that. For under that white sheet of paper we couldn't see was already another one. And they literally ripped down that paper like the opening of the tomb to see another piece of paper under it, where in big letters 15 feet across it read, "God is always there." God is always there. God is always with you. And that message that they received this week is something that we need to hold in our hearts as well. For all the burdens that we lay on life and all of them that we're willing to confess out loud and in our hearts, we know that God is always there. And God never leaves us alone. But you know what? We're reminded of that every time we come to worship as well. For I might not have a 15-foot long piece of paper, but I've got a piece of cloth that's just a little bit shorter than that. And when we remove that, we are opened to that promise lived out in the sacrament of communion that God is always there. That when we come forward to receive this bread and wine as the real presence of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are reminded that no matter what we struggle with in life, God is always there. And that we take that gift to those who can't be here because they may no longer be able to physically move, but wherever they are, to remind them that God is always there. And so today, as we pray for youth who travel to the next opportunity to see that in a far off place, may we here in this place be reminded of that as well. The great shepherd of our Lord Jesus Christ watches over us, guides us, and leads us on. That the great Redeemer brings us here to the table where we live in the fullness of God's promises made known to us in the forgiveness of our sins and life everlasting, so that we might go out into the world to share God's love with all we encounter. Thanks be to God. Amen.